time. Woke up the next day, went by the Bentley. Me and my kid.
Yeah.
I took the heart away. Didn't know how to say it. I was giving that heart away. So nope, I had to borrow play. That took my heart away. But I've been through harder days. Yeah, I was just in New York in the Homer. Look at the star with the straight. I ain't asked now for nothing. I took the heart away. 12 put me over, caught me with the. They took my heart away. Pouring liquor for my dick, it ain't gone. Thug holiday. Yumping it hard away. Hard away. I ain't asked now for nothing. I took the heart away. 12 put me over, caught me with the. They took my heart away. Hard away. Hard away. Hard away. Young Penny, hard away. I'm number one, like Young Penny. I used to shot JT Penny. Now I go fuck up in Lenny. Spend a few hundreds on Penny. Ever since I can remember, since elementary, all I wanted was me. I used to steal from my grandma, change her. Just to flex on them little bitty up. I be out at the street like. Deep flame out that street like. My block was hot before the wine was tuned. I ain't even kick my baby G-night. Before Teddy Boy had turned to 2 Chainz. Had a duffel bag with a few things. Before I rode with Gucci and the Moose, I ran with Ghostface, Killers, Wu-Tang, yeah. I took the heart away. Didn't know how to say it. I was giving that heart away. So up, I had to borrow play. That took my heart away. But I've been through harder days. That I was just on Rinse Road with the heart. Before this heart away. I ain't asked now for nothing. I took the heart away. 12 put me over, caught me with the. They took my heart away. Pouring liquor for my dick, it ain't gone. Thug holiday. Young Penny hard away. Hard away. Yeah. I ain't asked now for nothing. I took the heart away. 12 put me over, caught me with the. They took my heart away. Hard away. Hard away. Hard away. Young Penny hard away.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Impact Fourth Tuesday. Every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m., meet people who are about making a difference in your community. Our programs are designed to be a catalyst that helps nonprofits and other community organizations get the word out to you and help them to reach their goals and potential in serving others. Listen to Impact every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m. and see who is making a difference.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
The following is a pre-recorded program and does not necessarily reflect the views of WHFR staff members or Henry Ford College staff and members. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Betty Daniels from Impact Fourth Tuesday, and in the studio I have three ladies who are representing the Dearborn and Dearborn Heights League of Women Voters, and I'm going to let each one of them introduce themselves. Mary Jo, we'll start off with you.
Thank you, Betty, and thank you for the opportunity for us to speak about the league. My name is Mary Jo Duravage, and I am the current president of the Dearborn Heights League.
Okay, and next to her?
Good morning. My name is Lorelei Muniz, and I'm involved in the Youth Voter Registration Project for the League.
Okay, and our fourth and the third lady, I'm sorry.
Good morning, Betty. My name is Marlene Kilby, and I serve on the board of the Dearborn Heights League.
All right. I invited the ladies to be a part of this particular broadcast because we're coming up to the November elections. And before we get into the November elections, I wanted to kind of ask the ladies, what was the league's response or reaction to the primaries, and how did that go as far as you're concerned, as far as the voting process and what the league is about? And anyone can jump in, you know.
Well, this is Mary Jo. I was happy that more people than usual came out for the primary, but certainly it was nowhere near where we'd like to see the turnout come out. So we'll be busy again saying, okay, maybe you didn't vote in the primary, you've got to vote in the general. So but a little, like I said, happier that more people voted than usual, but we got to get those numbers up for next time.
Okay. Now, I'm nationwide. There was different reactions and responses to primaries. Was there any particular thrust that the league had been addressing for the primaries, and what was your efforts? And I know you said there was more, but as we know, automatically, but more or less traditionally, that's not the way of looking at it, primaries are low turnout. So what was the league, what were some of your efforts in trying to get more people out to the primaries?
Well, this is Lorelei, and I am involved with the youth voter registration, and I'm a relatively new member to the league. I've been involved for almost 2 years, and one of the big arms that we have is education, and mm-hmm. in particular, our league is very, very involved in getting new voters to
All
register.
Right. Okay.
And so this is our seventh year. This spring was our seventh year where we went into every high school in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, or 14 mm-hmm. of them, and registered over 1,000 new 18-year-olds to vote. And so we really do stress that the primaries are important as well as the general election.
Right, right.
And give voters tools, especially Vote 411 mm-hmm. and voter guides, to know who the candidates are, so you don't feel as intimidated, because I think as a new voter you don't know what it's about. So we try to give those young voters help in,
okay.
and demystifying the voting process.
All right.
Lorelei, why don't you explain what Vote 411 is, because our audience may not know that.
Sure. Vote411.org is run by the is run by the National League, and each local league enters data related to local elections.
Okay. All
so
right.
What Vote411 can be used in Alaska, it can be used in Florida, it can be used here in Dearborn, Michigan.
All right.
And you type in your address and it will give you local resources like what is on your ballot, who are the candidates, and gives nonpartisan information and sample ballots, and you can even determine if you are indeed registered or not.
All right.
So there's a wealth of information on Vote 411 that's constantly being updated from primaries to general elections year by year.
Okay. Now, it's interesting, as you were describing that, that it's not only just for the Dearborn area, but anyone statewide or...
Nationwide. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's it's maintained by local leagues, but accessible all over
all
the
right.
United States.
So someone who was in Florida, who happened to be in Florida, but wanted to vote absentee, they could go into 411 and find out what's going on?
Absolutely. You can do it remotely.
Okay. All right. There was a thrust for the youth. And so it was, if I'm hearing you correctly, there was a two-purpose goal with that, to introduce them into the voting process, then at the same time getting them out to vote. Is that?
Yes, and giving them tools to be educated voters, because that's one of the missions for the League of Women Voters, is empowering
okay.
Voters.
All right. How do you, all right, now for the, that's for the youth. What about the adults? What were your efforts for trying to educate and get more adults out to them?
Well, in Michigan, people have to be registered to vote 30 days ahead of the election. So many of our efforts were to try and make sure people were actually registered
mm-hmm.
and then encourage them to vote. So as Lorelei mentioned, we have the voter guides, which we did have paper ones this year, which are very popular.
Right.
So people see those, and sometimes it reminds them to vote. In our area...
now, hold up just a second. Voter guide. What is the voter
guide? Sure, voter guide. So, as we mentioned, the local leagues put, when there is one, information about local candidates into this electronic database called Vote 411. And then the local leagues decide whether or not they want to take that information, kind of format it, and put it into a paper guide that can then be distributed to the community. And in our case, we mostly send them to the libraries, the community centers. We've been taking them to the housing units in Dearborn. And I got rid of many at homecoming in Dearborn. I was there the weekend trying to get them out, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go where people are waiting for the music, and I could have used a whole bunch more. So, but in our area, I was just going to say about the primary, because of the way the politics works, if they're almost more important, at least locally, than the November one.
Right.
Because of the way our politics works.
All right. Now,
and Mary Jo spoke about information.
Yes.
The way that information is gathered is that we invite the community to send us questions.
All right.
That they would ask of a candidate, say a school board candidate.
Right.
And then we have a volunteer committee of members.
Right.
Who get together and frame these questions.
Okay.
So we always ask questions about how the person perceives their experience relating to the office and their biographical information. But then we'll ask questions, for example, again, a school board member, we might ask them about the policies that the school has for safety. Do
right.
they perceive them to be adequate?
Right.
So what the viewer can do by going to vote411.org is compare the responses to the same set of questions for all people
right.
who are a candidate for that office.
All right. Okay. Now, this is good information for our audience to get. This was part of your, and now you're, as a board member, you are a part of this process, how?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
I said, as the board member, we have the educator, we have the chairman of the...
The president.
President, okay. You're our board member at large, or...
I have a couple of special missions. One,
right.
I work on fundraising because,
right.
of course, this is an educational effort and it is tax deductible, but we have to get to people and explain what we're doing and ask for donations. And
right.
we do that once a year, and the response is usually pretty good from the
okay.
community.
All right.
And then the other thing that I do is I live at Henry Ford Village, and we are our own precinct at Henry Ford Village.
Mm-hmm.
So there are about 1,100 people there,
right.
counting the employees and the residents. And
right.
we register new voters every month there.
Right.
We contact people when they move in and explain how they can get their registration changed
all
to
right.
to our precinct.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pass out voter guides and we talk to people. We have 22 or 23 members there at Henry Ford Village.
Might be 22 now, yeah.
All right, now, and it's like you ladies are giving me so much information, and I'm trying to try dove, and I don't want to pull you away from because you're giving me good information as we go along. Different efforts, okay, with the league is your, and your format of what you're headed for. With the effort that you invested to the up to the primary, how do you measure, and where you were saying you want to get more out, how do you measure whether or not it was a good turnout or your relationship or your efforts? How do you measure your efforts?
Well, of course, we're not working alone. There's other groups that are trying to get the vote out. But practically speaking, you look at how many people could have voted and how many people did vote. So... there was an increase, as we said, in people voting in the primary this year, but I don't think you could attribute that just to the League of Women Voters. But we, you know, we work with other groups and
And that really kind of it was really a loaded question.
All right. Well, there is one parameter that we can point to, and
yes.
that is that Congressional District 12, which is our district, had the largest increase in primary voters in
okay.
the state.
Okay. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So.
And what I thought Marlene was going to say was we always want to make sure people know that the league is nonpartisan.
All right.
And that's very important.
Okay.
And I think that adds to our credibility.
Right. And now this is, what do you say, my loaded question. It has got, you know, got its productive fruits, is that sometimes you don't know exactly if your efforts were productive. Yet if you don't do it, you definitely will know that it was no effort. But then as we also then got it to that certain ways you can. So I think this is what we want our listening audience to understand about your vote. Some people say my vote doesn't count. But if 2,000 people said their vote didn't count, that's 2,000 votes that could have made an impact. So Therefore, it is like the league, okay? You go about doing the objective and the goal so that therefore you can see that your drop in the bucket is there, right? Okay.
That's right. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about when I was out with other members getting signatures for our Promote the Vote ballot issue, which we're involved in with other big groups. I would have some people say, oh, I don't vote. You know, I'm not registered. I don't vote. And so it would give me an opportunity to talk to them about just what you just said, Betty, about how every vote counts. And we can't always win. There's certainly been a lot of elections that I was unhappy about. But, you know, if you don't vote, you can't really complain.
Right.
On the other hand, again, getting signatures, I would see people who were just, you could just tell they always voted and they're so excited about voting. And we'll see people holding their voter guides maybe at the polling day on election day.
Right.
And when they find out we're a league member, they're always so appreciative. So
yes.
It's really kind of neat.
All right.
That.
Now, there were some different proposals in the primary. How did you go about, and my research, it looked like the league made recommendations to some of those proposals. How did you go about determining which, you know, what position you wanted to take on proposals and things like that?
Well, we have not taken position. Well, oh, that's not true. There are two voter-related ballot proposals that have been approved and will be on the ballot in November. One is voters, not politicians.
Right.
And the other is promote the vote.
Right.
We were not involved in the signature gathering for voters, not politicians, but we wholeheartedly support the efforts. And that is the idea that instead of the legislature creating the districts for after the census, that it would be done by a citizens commission.
All right.
So we wholeheartedly support that. The one that the league was involved in from the very beginning is promote the vote.
All right.
And the other two big groups initially were ACLU and the NAACP.
All right.
So basically, this proposal would put into the Constitution, the Michigan Constitution, some basic voting rights. Some of them we already have through the legislature, such as straight ticket voting,
right,
privacy of your vote, and can't remember where the other one is. Oh, 45 days for military and overseas people to get their ballots.
Right.
But we want to put this in the Constitution so the legislature cannot take it away, such as they've tried to do with straight ticket voting.
Okay.
And I don't know if this would be the time to talk a little more about that. Okay, so the other new items in the Promote the Vote would be the automatic registration of people at the Secretary of State. So a person goes in today and maybe needs to get a new license, and they will be asked if they want to register to vote. And if they do, then the Secretary of State will take care of that because they're working with the same system.
All right.
And kinds of information.
Right.
So with the new proposal, it would be automatically assumed that people would want to register to vote.
Right.
Unless the person says no.
All
so
right.
That should help with voter registration. Although Michigan, apparently, according to Ruth Johnson, our Secretary of State, is pretty high in voter registration, so we
okay.
can be proud of that.
All right.
The other one would allow people to register to vote. As I mentioned before, it's in Michigan, it's 30 days ahead. The new provision would allow people to vote or register to vote even up through Election Day.
All right.
up until the 15 days before Election Day, you could do it through the mail, but afterwards you would have to come in person either to the clerk or the Secretary of State, show a proof of ID. But this would help with people who sometimes come to vote and for some reason their name isn't on the poll book. And so if for some reason it's been deleted or, you know, accidentally, then they could go to the clerk's office and register to vote. And apparently that happens more times than we would know. The other big thing is being able to vote absentee without a reason. Now you have to actually give a reason, like
right.
being out of town or
being over 50.
What is it?
Seniors.
Seniors, yes. But this would be, you would not have to give a reason. So this, some people might call it early voting, because you could actually, after the ballots or the absentee ballots have gone out to people who have already requested them, anyone can go into this, could go into the clerk's office, ask for a ballot, fill it out, and turn it in. It won't get counted then, but right. You know, you've done it. So it makes it more convenient. And the whole idea is to make it easier, convenient for people to vote.
All right. Okay.
And the last item would be to make sure that our elections will be audited in a more formal way. And we hope that will give people the confidence that their vote does count, and maybe encourage more people to vote.
Okay, and if I'm understanding you correctly, all three of these things will be on in November?
So there are two ballots that I just discussed. One was Voters Not Politicians, and that's the commission for drawing the district lines.
Okay, and that's proposed.
Political. But ours is Promote the Vote.
All right, okay. And those proposals, when they see it on the ballot, how would it be written?
I think Voters Not Politicians is number two.
Yes,
two,
that's ballot two. Proposal two.
All right.
And I'm not sure if ours was just certified a few days ago, so I'm not sure what number it'll be.
Okay, all right. But now, that's another interesting point. The voter's guide will then eventually reflect where that is, you know, be more.
Yes. Different.
Okay.
Yes, the voter guide gives you information about candidates and all propositions that are on the ballot.
Okay.
And anything that's on the ballot for you will show up when you put your individual address in. So that's all
right.
Neat.
Okay. Now, I also saw something about the redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is that? Can you help me understand that a little bit?
Yes, that's what Mary Jo was talking about, Proposition 2.
Okay.
And currently, after the census, every 10 years, our legislators draw the maps.
All right.
And they can tend to draw them to their advantage. So this is a way
that
the citizens, a multi-partisan citizen committee, can then take information and draw the maps.
All right.
In a way that they all approve of, as opposed to.
Okay.
And so that would become. So that is Proposition 2. And getting back to the voter guides, a voter guide would say on a proposition what the proponents of Proposition 2 would say and what the opponents of Proposition 2 would say. And so you can kind of see which side you want to, you know, where you want to go vote yes or no on.
Does the league get involved with having people to have a question and answers where, just like we were discussing here, I didn't get the clarification about the redistricting as well as the part of the proposal. And Mary Jo gave a very good history and development of that. Do you have forums or anything up to the election that people can attend, and how would they go about doing that?
Well, you know, our state president and board has made it clear that they would expect all the local leagues to have something on looking at all the ballot proposals, because there's going to be some really important ones.
Yes.
And then secondly, to do what we call an advocacy meeting, where we would tell people why they would want to vote for the two ballot issues we just talked about. But in terms of the overall ballot issues, so the state has some speakers that are coming around, mostly board members, to different communities, and explaining to the citizens the different ballot proposals. We have one scheduled for October 4th.
Okay.
Actually, right here at Henry Ford College. And I don't know if you knew that, Betty.
All right.
So we're doing this in conjunction with Dr. Perry's Democracy Institute.
All right.
And we will have Judy Kerenchief, our president, speak about the proposals. And then we will also be having a forum for the Wayne County Judicial or Circuit Court candidates.
Right.
So that's exciting. And I just wanted to mention and put a plug in for another really wonderful organization called Citizens Research Council.
All
right. Right in Plymouth. And I get their emails, and they do wonderful reports, but they are going to be putting out something that gives the pros and cons of the proposals. And so I think that somewhere in our voter guide we can indicate a link to that.
All right.
Just more information.
Two questions.
And over a year ago, we had a public forum
right
in Dearborn with I mean, it was packed with a speaker who talked about gerrymandering, what gerrymandering is, how it comes about, and what the consequences are. That was part of our education effort. This was before we had a Prop 2 on the ballot.
All right.
Gerrymandering, that's referring to the redistricting issue. Right. You hear people, gerrymandering is a negative term.
Right.
And so, as Lorelei was saying, sometimes the districts can be drawn kind of funny or to the one party's advantage.
Yes.
So when you hear people talk about gerrymandering, they're talking about the redistricting and Prop 2.
Okay, and this is the kind of discussion we need to have so people can get associated. They don't get pulled away. Oh, no, that's redistricting when gerrymandering, they're all on the same issue. Mm-hmm. Another thing that came up was that, in my thoughts, was that, and I lost it, that court, okay, the 36, the district courts, all right, and I understand that a former presenter here for the Women League of Voters, I'm getting so tongue-tied. I'm glad I can
League of Women Voters.
Thank you very much. All right, I'm trying to get the thought and get it out at the same time.
Sure.
About the district courts, okay, and that people sometimes are not as understand the importance of the judges and voting for them and being aware of who they are. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, it's true. People don't know a lot about the judges. When I was a younger woman, I remember, I'm pretty sure, like the Bar Association's doing some sort of background information for the judges. But so this is something we haven't done for a few years, having judicial candidates. And I think what kind of brought it up was the idea of the Supreme Court and how we are talking about appointing a new judge. And just kind of like, you know, where do the judges come from? Because, you know, they have to start somewhere. And so the idea among some of the people on our Voter Service Committee was, well, why don't we do something with judges, so
right,
people kind of get the idea. Now, you can't really ask how would you vote on, you know, X subject, but you can hopefully get an idea of their philosophy of I don't know, being a judge,
or right,
the political philosophy is, or judicial philosophy, not political but judicial, and you know, how, what their thought process is, that kind of thing. And so we'll just, it'll be a chance to just kind of meet the judges. And the
right,
ones that I've interacted with in terms of confirming that they can come are very excited to come.
Okay.
Because I don't think that opportunity exists very much.
All right. Now, going into November election, all right, and I see, ladies, you brought your different notes, and so I want to make sure we get the information, things that you are, you want to make sure that we get out to our audience. Going into November, how important is this November election as opposed to the one with the president?
I like that you asked that question, because I think there are election cycles, and so the highest visibility cycle are the presidential elections,
right,
and they're every four years, and then every 2 years they're what's called the midterm
right
cycle, and that's where we are.
Okay,
and so usually what happens in a midterm year are a lot of state elections, and then even off the presidential and the midterms are more the local elections. So that last year, for example, was a big local election year. And so mayor and city council. So when those local elections, people tend to forget, but that's where we are involved the most. And we put on, I don't know, 3 or 4 candidate forums. So you can talk to the mayor, ask them questions, get to know them. And it's really a nice opportunity to put a face to the name and
mm-hmm.
hear their style and their personality comes
right
through more in
and
person than
their
it
own
does
horns
on paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can feel like you can make a connection with the candidate. So this season, or you know, this coming November, we have a governor's race, a U.S. Senate, U.S. House, Michigan Senate, Michigan House. So it's a little bit harder to bring those candidates to Dearborn and have a candidate forum, but I think it's still important for a voter to get their eyes and ears on what the candidates are saying.
All right.
And what else was I going to say? I don't know.
Well, you just reminded me that So the local leagues, when they can, will have paper guides, but also the state league will be putting out paper guides, and I think we ordered 10,000?
10,000.
So we will distribute those locally and maybe even take some down a little bit downriver where there is no league. But that will give information about the gubernatorial race, the Secretary of State, Attorney General, and then, as Lorelei mentioned, the
yes, and I think races. That what we need to, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the people locally need to get involved in the local process because that's where your vote has the most impact.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right. And so if you are negating that, then yes, you're going to be disappointed by the time you get to the president elections, okay? Because the foundation, you've missed out on the part where you your votes would have counted the most. At the and then, like I said, the foundation is the basis of anything that we do.
And they also set your policies for where you live. They assign the budgets, they make the laws, they zone the zones. So that your local politics has a higher, in some cases, a higher impact on your daily life than, say, a state or a federal election, even though they're higher visibility.
Yes, right.
So, yeah, they can't, yeah, they shouldn't be neglected.
And the other thing, too, is that we vote on millage issues.
Yes.
That is, we vote on whether or not to allocate more money to the school system,
right?
For example.
Right, right. Mary Jo, you give it.
That just was my thought. Yes, it was important that Marlene mentioned the millages. There are lots of groups in the area that are more issue oriented, and so they're involved in getting out the vote. The league, as we mentioned, has to stay nonpartisan,
right?
And so we want everyone to get out to vote, however they vote. And I was going to say that once upon a time in our league, we used to have a group called the Observer Corps.
Right.
And one or two members would go to the city council and kind of not only just find out what's going on. This is before the time where they taped, but also so that the council would see somebody from the league.
Right.
And in our newsletter, when we put in calendar items, we have a section called Citizen Participation. So whenever there's some kind of important hearing coming up or a chance to talk with your legislator, like in Dearborn, there are the council people take turns being at the senior center.
All
anyway,
right.
We want to, let people at least know about this, and maybe somebody will actually, take advantage of some of them. But, citizen participation, that's what it's all about.
And I want to point out that our newsletter is available to anyone.
Right.
If you go on our Facebook page and send a message to Mary Jo, she'll add you as a friend of the league, and you can get our newsletter. So you'll be aware of all the meetings and all the issues.
Or you can go to our website, just league, lwvddh.org, and there's a section there where it says sign me up for the newsletter. So I get a lot of those.
Okay, and that's a good important thing here is how do people get in touch with the League of Voters? We've mentioned the website, we mentioned Facebook. So can you give us the way of when we get into those areas again with that different addresses?
So, let me just reiterate that LWV stands for League of Women Voters,
all right.
And DDH is Dearborn Heights.
All right.
So the website to go directly to our league is LWVDDH.org, League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights.org.
All right.
And we're also on Facebook and we're on Twitter. But the national resource is also called vote411.org.
All right. Okay.
And if a person were to, because I'm the one that gets these notes saying, put me on the newsletter, what I think is happening is the National League has really revamped its website to just more current. You see lots of young people on the cover and so forth. Well, it's important. We're trying to get young people. But there's a section there that didn't used to be there where you just put your zip code in and find out where your local league is. So then it comes back with a link to our website. And then that's, as Lorelei say, that's where you said or you can see how to sign up. But we're getting at least maybe 3 a week of people doing that. So I can only assume that people are looking at what's going on and saying, I got to get involved. And they just Google League of Women Voters, and then, as you say, it'll bring them back to our local one.
Okay. Ladies, we're going to take a break right there, and then we'll come back, okay?
WHFR's annual record sale is Saturday, October 27th, and vendor tables are going fast. If you are a vendor and wish to participate, email us at whfr@hfcc.edu or give us a call at 313-317-6579 to reserve your spot now. WHFR's Record Show is a yearly event held right here in the Student Center of Henry Ford College, and one of those vendors could be you. Call now to reserve your spot for Saturday, October 27th.
And this is Betty Daniels. Welcome back to Impact for Fourth Tuesday. And we in the studio, we have three ladies from the Dearborn Heights League of Women Voters. I got it out correctly that time. All right. And we have one of the ladies introduce themselves again, starting again.
My name is Mary Jo Duravage, and I'm president of the league.
And I'm Lorelei Muniz. I'm a new member of the league.
All right.
I'm Marlene Kilby, and I serve on the board of the league.
All right. Now, we have three different, three different ways of all coming down to roads leading to Rome. Okay? We have a really new one. We have a board member, and we have a chair president. Okay. Ladies, let's, from your positions, and I'll start with the newest one first, the baby first. All right. How did you get involved? What does the League of Women Voters mean to you?
I grew up in Dallas, Texas, and right. I remember my mom teaching me about the League of Women Voters. Mm-hmm. And what she taught me about the League of Women Voters, and this is just from my mom, a person that I trust, was right. that the League was a place that she could trust for incredible information regarding voting, that it was kind of an institution that you learned about the candidates from, and they wouldn't try to convince you either way.
Right.
And so when I moved to Dearborn 20 years ago, I would see the voter guides in the libraries and use them. But I must admit, I was a person that, you know, kind of left, didn't understand local politics. So I didn't really necessarily always participate in the primaries.
Right.
So, but what I think the days of voter apathy, the tide of voter apathy might be turning, in that, you know, I've always been a voter, but whether or not now I feel the need to share the importance of voting. So I got hooked into the league through the education arm. And when I said, you know, wouldn't it be a good idea to help, you know, new voters figure out the voting system? And I had heard that the League of Women Voters already did that. So I said, oh, perfect. So I joined the league through, and the league partners with Access, and for the last 7 years have gone into every high school in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights and have registered eligible voters. Okay. And the research says that if you start voting earlier, you're more likely to continue voting than beginning to vote as an older person. So that's just a real way to increase civic engagement, which I think is kind of, you know, we all are invested in democracy, whether or not we want to be.
Right.
So we might as well use our voice. Use it and use it to our advantage, and not just vote for anything, but be informed voters. And I think the league is a really excellent way to learn to become an informed voter.
And one of the things that one of those truisms that came to my mind is act or be acted on.
Yeah. I don't think I might use that one, Betty.
Lorelei reminded me, and I'm sure you must have been at that meeting. Yes, we had quite an influx of new members after the last presidential election. And one of the meetings we had that was very successful and was a chance for me to meet some of the newer members or prospective members, we had one, we meet at Christ Episcopal Church in right. the Fellowship Hall, and we invited people, legislators, to come and share with members and guests what is the best way to advocate for an issue. So Representative Dingell was there, I think, and Representative Abdullah Hamoud was there. I think Senator Kinesic was also there. And then I think we had maybe a school board member, I'm not sure. But it was so interesting to hear from the legislators themselves about the best way to make your
years. All right. And my interpretation of how we're received is pretty much reflected on just the general population.
All right.
Some people could care less. And some people are like, I've been dying to vote for the last 3 years. So right. There's a different level of enthusiasm, which, you know, because it's these are public and private schools, so there's a different range of engagement. And one thing I think that is important that we do is we have a lot of underserved population, underrepresented populations in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights.
All right.
And we try to bring in folks that remember the time where their voting rights were suppressed and how we really want to instill, you know, we take voting for granted in the United States.
Yes,
and
we
to
do.
Instill some sense of urgency and privilege and honor that, wow, you know, we can. I mean, this, if we participate in democracy, we can alter things. So I think I haven't gotten to the point where I haven't had any experiences where the young people are at odds with what we're doing.
All right.
They're either fully on board or curious. And so that's where we want to keep them.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
I know, for example, I have two young adult granddaughters who both voted in the primary and who both voted on all the issues because they were able to get information from vote411.org.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we try to emphasize, is that people need to vote all the way down the ballot.
Right.
And we try to provide them the information so that they can have educated perspectives on those issues and vote their, vote what they believe.
All right. Madam President.
Well, I was just thinking, not totally related to the question, but again about the Vote 411, I was at a meeting where I was presenting something about the league. It was, I'm a retired federal employee, so we have a local group that meets monthly. Anyway, I was telling them about our Who's Who, which we can talk about a little bit later, and then also about 411. And there was a fella in the back taking notes, and he actually was somebody that comes to the meetings every month as a representative of a particular financial planner. But anyway, so I talked to him after the meeting, and he said, well, I live in Brighton, but there's no, I looked up on your website, there's no league. And I says, well, let's look in Vote 411 and see what you can find. And he was just in heaven. He says, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. So I was just thinking that even if you're not near a league, you can find at least statewide information that
all
the
right.
state league has done.
All right. As president of the league, now you are, go ahead.
I wanted to also say that, like Lorelei, and as we've talked a lot about the education efforts, but one of the things I value is our advocacy.
All right.
For example, the state has a position on environmental issues.
Yes.
And our former president, Betsy Cushman, has testified when we've had issues about permits.
Mm-hmm.
That would have released more pollutants into the areas that affect schools. And so I think that's a very important service.
All
and,
right.
The state website will tell you all the advocacy issues that the state has adopted.
All right.
And that kind of goes along with what we were saying in our newsletter. We try to tell people opportunities for citizen participation. For example, for the last few MDEQ, Michigan Department of Environmental Quality,
thank you very much.
hearings that have been in Dearborn, we've really encouraged our members to go. We didn't testify because we have to be able to study an issue before we can actually testify on behalf of the league. But people can certainly go up and say something as individual citizens.
Right, right.
So we encourage people to do that.
Okay, so as president, now you are the new...
This is my second year.
Second year. Okay, of your term. And you have your term lasts how long?
2 years.
2 years. All right.
But she's not term limited.
No. All right. You've been with the league for how long and what other...
yes, that's right. We started talking about how we got involved.
Yes.
And I think Marlene and I all have sort of a similar story, but... as a young woman, this would probably be in the late 70s, you know, I'm out of grad school, got my job going, and so wanted to get involved. And I don't know if I had a friend in the league or can't remember, but I know I joined the league and right away got involved in the Women's Issues Committee. So I was the ERA person and the choice person. But at the same time, I became involved in NOW, or it might have been the other way around, but I realized that, okay, so NOW kind of told me the issues and, you know, what they are, and then the League kind of explained how who you vote for helps determine those policies right. that you're so interested in.
Right.
So, yeah, I've been a member for many years, and that first in Livonia, then in Dearborn, and been secretary a lot of that time when I was raising the kids and working full time. That was something I could do because right. I would just have to show up and then do the minutes and, you know, send them out and so forth.
All right. Now, you did indicate a point. Now that you are 20 years, even though you're a baby to the League, you've been in Dearborn 20 years and stuff. Is there opportunities or an opportunities, one, need for, two, where people who are with the little young ones, you know, got active days, active calendars, where they can still have a participation in the League and still feel a part of the process, because a young mother is impacted as much, if not more so, by a lot of the things that are being voted upon, but may or may not feel, you know, they have the time to even find out what's going on, that type of thing. What would be your answer to that kind of question?
Well, I'm kind of smiling because my understanding is that when the League first started in our area in like 1951, that the board would have like half day meetings, and they actually had babysitters at
okay.
the church to
all
take
right.
care of them. I actually met one of them recently. But now, well, there's all kinds of different tasks. I know Betsy, our voter service person, has had meetings during the day. And I know that some people with children have come. I don't know if they've gotten a sitter or their, you know, partner was available that day. But, and I think Lorelei will have a little bit to say about that too. There are different jobs. Like I was talking to someone the other day who works full time. She doesn't have young children anymore. But she said, you know, I can do that, but I can't do this. So, finding out what people are interested in. So if we knew a young person was interested in voter registration, you know, we'd work with them to see, well, you know, we're having an event here. Would you be able to come for a couple hours?
Right.
We're certainly not discounting them. But we also, you know, it's important for the members to also come to us, too. You know, let us know, you know
right.
what they can do.
All right.
But I know that there were some probably people with children for the voter register or the youth group. Thing.
Yes, and I'll clarify too. Even though the name is the League of Women Voters, there are men that belong to the League of Women
yes,
Voters.
Yes, I saw on the website there was this man.
Men and women. It's open to men and women age 16 and above. So
right.
even, you know, the high school junior or senior can also join the League.
Very good point.
And I would say that, you know, even if you have an hour or two a month, there's always something that you can contribute. You know, we have deliveries of voter guides that you can do, or there's editing of online things. So I think if you want to get involved with people who also want to empower voters, then you're more than welcome to join,
right.
and we'll find a room for you.
We try to have something going each month, and this is especially important for new members, because typically the question I'll get, okay, so what's your next activity? So, and we do meet usually on the third Thursday when we have a meeting at the church around 7 o'clock. So hopefully again, you know, if a woman with children, you know, if her husband's home, she'll take advantage. And even if you're not actually doing something, if you're hearing the information,
yes,
you can share that with what I call your circles of friends,
right.
your circles
right.
of neighbors,
right.
community organizations you belong to. It never hurts to hear a little information and sometimes be able to inform or correct in some situations.
Okay. And traditionally, the League of Women Voters has a reputation of being as being nonpartisan, but also being very detailed in your information and in keeping when you even when you have your different speakers, you give them, you know, you ask questions that are pertinent and solving, you know, necessarily for people to hear, because quite often, you know, when you the You know, during elections, you have these different ads and stuff that are geared to, but it's not necessarily informative. Mm-hmm. All right. And this is, and the league has a, you know, a standing reputation of, you want to get information. This is, you know, we are people who gather it, you know, digest it and then give it back out to you. And you also have the reputation of when the different members or representatives coming from the different areas, you ask pointed questions that get to the crux of the matter. So are you proud? You know, that's still something that's going on. We haven't heard from our board member as to how she got involved and where she is.
Well, like Mary Jo, I actually, what happened to me was I started graduate school in 1963, and my very first semester, the church bombing happened in Birmingham, and I thought, if I don't do something, I am as guilty as the people who threw those bombs. So I got very active in social justice issues, and people who were working on them were people from the league, and they had really strong backgrounds.
Right.
As you said, they usually were very well informed. They knew Robert's rules, so they were effective at conventions.
All right.
And so I gained a great deal of respect and then for those people. And then I served on the board for the National Organization for Women, and my at that time, we were so poor that we shared rooms. So my
which was a good thing. Yeah. You know, a lot of the things that you experienced back in the day had a lot to do with, you know, the kind of what you do.
Right. So my roommate for all those 4 years that I served on the board was Ellie Smeal. And Ellie Smeal had been a president of the Pittsburgh League.
All right.
She was a big influence on me. So I gained a lot of respect for the organization. I have belonged to leagues in different places that I've lived. This is the most active that I've been in the league because I'm retired and I have 7 days a week that I can show up to do something if I'm needed.
Right.
And that's very satisfying.
All right.
I want to reemphasize what Mary Jo just said, and that is there certainly are people out there that don't have the financial resources to join the league and may not have enough time to work on an issue, but they can sign up for the newsletter, they can get information, they can talk to their mother-in-laws, their sister-in-laws, their husbands, their friends, and that's a very important service that they can do.
All right, okay. Lorelei, you have some papers there.
Oh, I just wanted to clarify what Marlene had said, that the mission statement for the League of Women Voters is empowering voters and defending democracy, and that kind of represents the two arms. Like the defending democracy is a little bit what Marlene was talking about, advocacy, expanding voter rights and such, and protecting environmental issues. And then empowering voters is more what I was talking about the registration and get the vote out and voter guides. And I think the value statement is kind of important to reiterate. It says, we envision a democracy where every person has the desire, the right, the knowledge, and the confidence to participate. So all that really sums what we do in a nutshell.
Okay. We have had, within this the metro area, influxes of a number of different, and I won't necessarily say they are different groups, okay, different ethnicities, different origins and things. Also, people will kind of look at what the obvious, the ethnicities, but we also have income brackets, all right? Everyone that immigrates are not at the same income brackets, all right? Then we have the existing income brackets, the existing ethnicities and stuff. As the league, have you seen, you know, what has this done to the whole voting process, you know, as far as what's going on? What has been some of the things that you have, your observations, or what has been some of the impact on the voting process, or what has been coming out in the elections that you have seen?
When you were talking about that, I was thinking of a group called Michigan Voice.
Right.
And I actually went to a training they had.
Who are
talking
they?
About the rights of voters. And I'm not sure how to answer it, other than to say, I know in Dearborn, I just had a meeting the other day, and we were talking about the merits of Dearborn in terms of, like, branding it, and somebody made the comment that, you know, we have a variety of housing here, and they talked about very nice and just, you know, for the lower income family, and so we have a good diversity that way, but... I know that Lorelei mentioned access. There's a big effort to get the newer citizens and maybe someone who's been here for a while to get out.
Right.
And to, as she said, realize that the policies that we have to live by are made by a human being
right.
that we vote for.
Right.
I think there are a lot more interest or issue groups that are working for the rights of the underrepresented, and the league wants to work with all those groups,
right.
Because as we said in our mission, our value statement, we want everybody to vote that has the desire. Well, sometimes maybe we have to work on getting that desire there, so that, you know, getting them again to see the relationship between how you
yes,
live and
yes.
how you vote.
Right,
yes.
right.
And I know I didn't answer your question, but...
No.
I think I can speak to it just a little bit from a personal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Last November, when we had the local elections, since the league does have a good reputation for being nonpartisan and impartial, a group was asked to poll watch. And I think that's an important thing, an important service that we can provide sometimes to kind of keep an eye on things, because Dearborn has a lot of different precincts,
right.
and we want to make sure that they're equitably served. And I know that the clerk's office did a good job at providing interpreters, say,
right.
at polls. And so that's an important thing to give access
yes.
to certain
yes.
Members of the community
right.
and having... multilingual ballots. So it, you know, we want to encourage people to register, we want to encourage people to vote, but we also want to keep an eye on making sure that everybody on voting day does have kind of equal access to cast their votes,
you know,
feels
and
comfortable.
Yeah,
yes, right.
Yes.
You know, and I'm, as I was, you know, listening to the discussion, and you know, as you hear one somebody's idea that we don't redistricts what you're thinking about, but what and I'll get to the point, Betty, is that there's an education process of just about democracy, all right? And to understand the country that you are in, all right? We need to know about the back in the day, okay, when there was, now had there was a need, you know, there was a need that was being answered, and that's how now it was formed. We need to get that kind of history, because it's not necessarily not to negate our education system, but I think it's an experience system that experiences that we at different age levels may have gone through, but each one of those experiences had it. And so there's a reason for, you know, certain people now, we don't have to die to vote. But even in the United States, there was a time when certain groups did have to die to vote. Understand the importance of, you know, act or being acted on. Okay, this is all part of the educational process. And as I heard you starting off earlier, that's one of the, somebody saying, well, you know, what is League of Voters, you know, educating about? Democracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have groups in the United States working to suppress the vote.
Uh-huh.
So part of our promote the vote came about because we are officially opposing voter suppression, and
all
we're
right.
doing everything we can to make voting a comfortable process for people.
Okay. And it's also the awareness, you know, education is about is increasing your awareness, and that and then as you become aware, then you become more literate as to what needs are need to be done. You know, someone underserved does not necessarily mean income. It does not necessarily mean ethnicity. Underserved might be, you know, the young, okay? And that cuts across all of those groups that we just indicated. And then also the, you know, the fact that you, by your interacting, you're learning about the people you lived in the community that you live in. So there's a local process. Mary Jo, I see
I was thinking about, as a former librarian, my ears always peak up when I hear about fake news and that kind of thing. U of M has been going around to libraries, their information, I don't remember what they call it, but it's a library school,
right.
to talk to people about how you can find out what is fake news and how to find real information.
Yes.
So I think that's important for groups like ours to emphasize, because I was thinking about, you know, social media and all the craziness that can happen there. We did mention the league's Facebook, and that certainly is a good place to go if maybe a comment or a statement from the league on something that's going on in the nation. But anyway, so we also have our social media to try to counteract some of the silliness.
All right, ladies, we can come into our closure on our discussion. Are there things that you wanted to get in, you know, to bring to our awareness, and what would they be right now? Mary Jo, let's start with you.
Well, I wanted to make sure that people know. Let's see, I have some extra things here. Okay. Oh, well, we want to make sure people know that they have to get registered to vote by October 9th.
All right.
And that's the last day. We hope to do something for Voter Registration Day, which is September 25th. That's a national effort to just get that in the front of people's minds about making sure they get registered to vote. You can do so at the Secretary of State or the City Clerk. And just want to say that we are going to have three upcoming meetings. The one in September is we're going to have representatives from Promote the Vote and Voters Not Politician ballot issues that we discussed earlier. That'll be at our Christ Episcopal Church at Military and Cherry Hill, 7 o'clock on September 27th.
Okay, that go a little bit slow so people can get that.
Okay. So again, that's going to be September 27th at 7 o'clock at Christ Episcopal Church on the two ballot issues that are voter related.
All right.
And Christ Episcopal Church is at 120 North Military.
It is. Yes.
All right.
And then on October 20th, which is a Saturday morning, we're going to be visited by the Michigan Truth Tour, which is a program from Center for Michigan and the Bridge reporters there. So that will be at 10 o'clock. We'll watch a video Michigan Divided.
All right.
An exploration of political division in Michigan. And then we will have a discussion about it for about a half hour, which I think will be great. We did mention the October 4th program that's going to be here at Henry Ford College at 6 o'clock.
All right.
6 o'clock, 6:15. So we'll have the ballot pro and cons first, and then the judicial candidates.
All right. Okay. Laura?
Yes, I just want to close by kind of educating people on who can vote. And I have it written right here from the application. To register and vote in Michigan, you must be a resident of Michigan and the city or the town.